Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
An Erio's original.
Welcome to The Mother of All Shows, the podcast that takes a deep dive into motherhood and parenting with a comedic twist. Because if we can't laugh through our tears as we watch our kids grow up too fast, then we are screwed. With a capital,
oh my God, you're already a teenager.
I'm your host, Kimmy Gatewood. I'm a comedian, director, and tired mother of a four-year-old. I also play the trombone and used to be a roller skating waitress. So that's all you need to know about me. Before we get into things, and today we are getting into things, I want to remind you to rate and review our show. We love feedback. This show is about starting a dialogue and we want to hear from you. Because otherwise it's just monologues and I stopped doing those after college. So send your comments and questions to motherofallshows@gmail.com or tweet at us, MOASpod. Join the community. Come on, don't make me beg for it. I already spent half the day begging my daughter to finish her fish sticks. So today, we're going to discuss guns. And I don't mean biceps, because I don't have time to work out. It is a serious one. Gun culture in America is unique. That's not a compliment, United States of America. As a citizen, it's hard every day waking up to another mass shooting. And as a mother, you know, I'm terrified. I know there are a lot of layers to this issue. And I don't feel like I would own a gun, but maybe I would. Maybe I'm just not seeing the other side of it. So today I decided to talk to a gun activist and also my good friends, Rebecca Johnson and Amanda Dibert, about how we talk to our kids about guns and how they grew up talking about guns. So let's start with that chat with Rebecca and Amanda. So let's just say I invited you guys over to do my podcast and I told you I had a gun. How would you feel?
I'd feel like we were kindred spirits because I brought mine.
Oh, cool.
I'd be fine with it as long as we weren't like, if we were having a play date with our girls mm-hmm. and you were like, oh yeah, by the way, a gun has been laying on my bed all day. Then I would be like, oh, we're not doing this again. But if it's just like us coming over, I feel pretty confident that you didn't bring it to shoot me. So I think it'd be okay.
I think that it would be like surprising, and then it might like I know
because you're like Kimmy. You drink almond milk lattes,
right? You don't even have dairy.
Why would you have a gun?
But I guess you're not eating the gun. also, I would audience. I was joking all those times that I said I brought a gun. I don't have a gun, but I do know people who have guns. I don't like that they have guns, but I do know them and. So, yeah, it would just be kind of like, so I would ask you a lot of questions.
Yeah. I have to say, like, I think that your response to that question surprised me a little bit that you're so, like, you were very open to it. And I think that that's important, I think, for, like, what I'm saying is, like, you guys are woke as fuck. No, I think it's good, right? Like, because obviously guns are a very charged issue. They're in the news every day, and I hate reading the news every day. We're hearing about gun violence, and it's tough. So to like have it in a person that you know's house is kind of a strange thing.
Well, I grew up with guns.
Okay.
So I grew up with a lot of guns and around a lot of guns.
Your family had a lot of guns, or there were just guns in your
community? She's a family of guns. Your family is a family of guns. Oh, Amanda's a gun.
I was born to a gun.
One
she
day.
Shot right out of her mom's barrel.
You know what? That
a shotgun
like a
and a rifle yeah. loved
like
each other
a birth
very
I can get
much.
Behind. That kind of birth, just a like shotgun a shotgun birth.
A shotgun God, wedding sounds, and then bang, you're out.
Yeah. To save you hours of pain.
Oh, guns.
Yeah, but I, so my grandfather has a lot of guns. I went to live with them, with my grandparents when I was in my late teens. And the rule was, as a teenager, that I had a car, but I couldn't go out or drive my car unless I had a loaded handgun with me. So as
loaded handgun.
A loaded handgun in the car with me for my safety.
Where was the gun?
Usually it was in the side console, like next to my door, so that if someone tried to carjack me, I could quickly grab it and shoot them in the face.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Hey, y'all, I'm from the South.
Oh my God.
Were there a lot of carjackings like where you grew up?
No.
No, but, and the reason I asked that is because where I grew up, there were carjackings. But
Rebecca's from Staten
I did
Island.
Not have a gun. But so it's just interesting that that would be your grandparents' thought. Like, in case you get carjacked, which is not something that's a normal thing occurrence. No. Like, you're more likely probably to come across a deer that you could randomly shoot, right? Yeah,
right. Like a deer that you accidentally hit with your car and then are shooting it to just send it off.
Just for fun.
Send it off to heaven? Deer heaven? I don't know.
And so terrifying as this is in today's climate, I drove my gun.
I mean, no, you're the gun or the car is the gun. We're going to figure this out.
Drove my gun in my car where I parked across the street from the school in a church parking lot. Wow. So I always had a loaded gun across the street from my school every day.
Oh, my God.
Always. And then I also had, like you do, a rifle with like a laser scope in my bedroom closet, like all the time. And so those were my guns that I had. And then there was lots of other
those
guns.
Those were your personal guns.
Those were my personal guns. And then like my grandmother had a very cute little Derringer that she carried in her purse that was like very petite and dainty.
You know the names of them. Oh my God.
And then like my grandfather also like loads his own bullets. So like there's like the bullet loading shed.
What
the
does
back.
That mean?
I mean, he makes his own bullets.
You like, DIY bullets?
Yeah.
I didn't know I that was no a idea. Thing.
He's very crafty. He's very good with guns. And I would go on the
it's
weekends.
Like rolling your own cigarettes or whatever?
Yeah,
it's
on the weekends, I would go shooting with my grandfather and his brother at the range. They had like an outdoor range. And my grandfather really liked to like show off that like the 17-year-old girl could out shoot like the guys with my little manicure and whatever. You know, because like all military dudes.
Oh my God.
He wanted me to be a sniper for my profession. This is this was his real career dream. Very
He's
similar.
Like, I can tell by the manicures that she's really into sniping.
Yeah. Very similarly, I moved out to the left coast and became a TV writer and lesbian.
Wow. So
she's sniping
holy
pussy.
Moly. So when.
Oh my God, I want a business card.
So, okay. So, oh, boy. So, did you go out shopping for guns yourself, well, or did they, like, gift you a gun?
Well, these were gifts. Oh, but cool. I have been to gun shows.
Oh, wow.
It kind of makes sense, like, when you hear about how it was just such a normal part of your childhood, how I imagine that you weren't alone in that. Like, there was a lot of people that you probably lived near that had rifles in their closet and guns in their loaded car across from school.
Loaded
probably,
car.
Right? Your loaded car gun.
It was like a loaded baked potato car with a gun.
But it just kind of then makes sense why, I don't know, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I could see why the fact that like Kimmy and I mean, I know a couple of people who have guns, but it wasn't like a normal, it's not like a normal thing where we grew up. So I'm like, oh, I can see why they're like, these liberals are coming for our guns. Because you literally just have a gun wherever you are. Like
in your car, in your bedroom. Your grandma had them in your purse. You had it in the bedroom.
Right.
But there were no little kids around, right? Or were there?
Right. So that's the thing. I was the youngest person in the house and I was like 17.
Okay.
And a well-adjusted kid who, you know, I mean, I think they may have taken different precautions.
Per past conversations. Well-adjusted.
Yeah. I'm not saying I hadn't been through a lot. Right. Was it a good idea? Maybe not. But I was, you know, I think maybe had I displayed different personality traits or whatever, they probably would have handled things differently. So I think it was fine. I'm actually kind of glad that I do know how to handle a gun.
Uh-huh.
If I'm in a situation where there is a gun pointed at me, if I can get the gun away from a person, I then know how to use it. I think that's good.
Oh my God, you're on my squad. Oh my God.
Call me in the apocalypse.
Yeah, the apocalypse.
Hopefully our phones work.
Oh, crap. I didn't even think about cell service.
Just grab guns, shoot
the
them in the
news
air.
Is that I could probably hotwire something and get
that's
cell
true.
Service.
Kimmy is tech support. Amanda, she's our gunner. I will be a clown. I'll be no use.
Rebecca's very crafty, so she could probably fashion like maybe you're the gum compartment for you.
Oh, yeah.
Out of a shoebox.
I could fashion, I'll make the bullets.
Yeah, out of some human hair or something.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That's crazy. So you used gun primarily for support. I mean, support, safety and protection, potential, and then also for sport.
Right. The only time I ever used a gun was for sport, for leisure. The reasons that they were given to me were for protection.
How many times did you have the conversation that a gun could kill someone and that usually that a gun is to take a human life?
Oh, all the time. My grandfather is a Marine Corps officer. He was very, he taught concealed carry courses. So I took the concealed carry courses.
This is mind blowing. Sorry. Okay, go on.
I feel
on.
Like this always happens.
Yeah. In the cult episode, Amanda's like, oh, I was basically raised.
In a commune.
How are you guys?
But yeah, he would always, you know, it was basically like, if you're going to be in a situation where you're going to use a gun, that means you need to be prepared to take human life because that's what it's for. And he was very like, basically like, if you're going to get out and shoot somebody, then you need to be aiming to kill, because the only reason that you would be shooting somebody is if the situation were that dire, you know, to take it very seriously and to be very prepared for how serious it would be.
Wow. So moving to Rebecca, you said you know, like, people that have guns. Do they have these same conversations with
other? I know, like, without saying who they are, because I think in our circles it's, like, more weird.
Right.
So they're more, like, liberal, liberal type people, but then who felt like having a gun was a good idea in case of protecting themselves. Like, one person I know, they're... house was burglarized, and then so then they got a gun. The nervous thing for me is I made sure to have the conversation, is it locked up, blah blah blah, because I don't want my son going over to someone's house who may not have kids and then him finding the gun, you know what I mean? Because you could put it on a high shelf, that doesn't mean that a 4-year-old's not going to find it. So yep. Making sure that it's safe in that way. And also
literally today, yeah, I was like, I got you your vitamins, which are on the second, like, in the top cabinet on the second shelf. She scaled up the kitchen cabinets and got both of our vitamins.
Oh my god!
And I was pretty sure she was going to get the childproof, like, twist off top open.
Right.
I was like, we got to remember that they're little monkeys and they have all their digits, mm-hmm, and like, mm-hmm,
and they also want to push boundaries, and so, mm-hmm, if then you have like something that could have devastating effects if they get to it, like, yeah, they could do that, and they would be interested in that possibly. So I feel like when I was growing up, the first time I saw a gun was literally like in high school. Oh no, in middle school, one of the students held up another student in front of me.
Oh my god!
So that's literally how I saw a gun. And then the next time that it was damaging to my brain was I was hanging out in the football field at school, like at night, like we were drinking. And then this guy was there that I didn't recognize. And literally he was a white dude, but had cornrows. And I was like, oh, like, I like your hair or something. And he's like, yeah, I have it for jacking. And I was like, for what? And he's like, carjacking. And then he pulled a stocking over his face to show me and then showed me his gun.
Oh, wow.
And I...
How old were you? How old
16? He was probably 18. I have no idea.
Got it.
Yeah.
Seemed like so much older at the time.
Yeah, but mm-hmm, not even. I mean, he kind of just was there. Like, and there were only maybe 6 of us there. I just took like a step, like I basically walked away from him one step at a time all the way across the football field, like just out of this weird fear. But he wasn't threatening me.
He was casually demonstrating how he does a carjacking.
Yes. And so that's what I'm saying when I'm like, so were wild. There carjackings near you? So, and those are the two times
God.
I saw
so
a gun.
That's so the guy that your grandfather was picturing
of,
in his head.
And I didn't have a gun.
They were.
Yeah. I didn't have a gun in that situation. I didn't need to use it either. I wasn't threatened. But it was scary that there was a person there with a gun, obviously. And there were like some other dudes coming up. They were like walking up to hang at the football field. And we were like, oh, we don't know if we know them. And he's like, don't worry, I got it. If we need, like, he was like, basically like, I'll protect you. Meanwhile, oh my God, I don't even know what he was doing there, like by himself. So either way, that could have gone really horribly. But that's kind of my experiences with guns are on that side of it, of being like, terrified by its presence.
Yeah.
You know, and then later in life, I went to my friend's bachelor party and we went shooting, but it was like at a range. It wasn't like shooting with anyone's personal gun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to me, even seeing them like on a cop or when like, you know, seeing guns, even just any time, it sort of gives me a fear charge.
Thank you, Rebecca and Amanda. To get more insight on how we can do more to address the gun problems our countries face, I reached out to my friend Laura Menino. She co-founded an organization called Drain the NRA. It's a grassroots movement that combats the gun lobby's stranglehold on Congress by boycotting and divesting from the gun industry and its corporate partners. It also applies pressure on companies and politicians to end their affiliation with the NRA. So she is a superhero, a mom, and fighting for real change. Here is my conversation with Laura.
I feel like the gun reform world, we have to always say, there's a few things that we always have to like introduce ourselves with, like, I believe in the Second Amendment, but I'm okay right. with hunting, but I have a problem with the whole 2A argument because I think we're playing on the right, the gun.
The 1700s?
Yeah, yes.
People are like, yeah, if right. the government tries yeah. to take over, y'all can fight right. if you want.
But there's a few different things. I think when we're talking about gun violence, we're not really talking about hunting rifles. I think yeah. what we're talking about is handguns and military style weapons that don't belong in civilized society. But here's like a little statistic that helps sort of anchor me, because I feel like only mass shootings or school shootings get all of the attention, and it is sickening and tragic how many we have been having. Mm-hmm. But in general, 300 people are shot a day in the US.
Wow.
90 of them die, which means there's like well over 200 who are still have to live with possibly chronic injuries from that gunshot. Of those 90, 50 are actually from suicide, from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And then 7 of those deaths are children.
Which is
mostly accidental shootings or even suicide if you're under the age of 18 and can pick up a gun. And so what can we do with that? I know that's really a bummer. But some of the things we talk about, universal background checks, which I agree with, which will close gun sale loopholes that you just can't just buy a gun at, like, I don't know, the Denver Convention Center, yeah. the county yep. center, and just buy a gun and not go through a background check.
Right.
And so,
this one's pretty. It's pink.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give it to you and have no idea if you are a criminal.
Right.
Or just somebody who's going to go home and shoot your wife.
Oh, my God.
And there's also mandatory waiting periods. And mandatory waiting periods means for most states have about a three day waiting period before you order a gun, before you actually pick it up. And it's usually because a background check is taking place. But 7 day mandatory waiting periods have shown to decrease, to have an actual direct impact on decreasing suicides, because most people are looking for a permanent answer to a temporary problem. So mm-hmm. Anyway, I feel like I'm rambling, but
I mean, it's very important. I've actually been seeing a lot, because a family member of mine committed suicide last year.
God, I'm so sorry.
And so I have been seeing a lot more conversations around suicide, and right. it was with a gun. So, and it was with a hunting rifle.
Wow.
So it was like buckshot, and it was really hard to wrap my head around it. Cause I know that I had asked my family to, like, they locked up all of his other guns, but they let his hunting rifle out. So it's not that, like, this is like keeping handguns out of people's hands will stop them from committing violent acts mm-hmm. against themselves or
right,
others.
Right.
So I think talking about suicide is a very important part of mm-hmm. talking about gun violence.
Yeah.
And I think that also violence against specifically women mm-hmm. is a very important part of talking about gun violence, because I feel like domestic abuse is still rampant in our country mm-hmm. and it can escalate to like gun violence yeah. very quickly.
Yeah. Women, the moment you are living in a house with a gun, you are in danger statistically.
Oh my God.
As a woman.
Wow.
Statistically, you are in danger the moment you live in a house with a gun. And Giffords Law Center website is a really great place to just get quote unquote fun facts on gun violence and how what communities are really vulnerable.
I want to feel like crap today.
And it's women and children and communities of color and what's happening with police force and neighborhood violence. And then what is also happening to white men who are susceptible to suicidal ideation and also radicalization, for them to pick up a weapon and shoot up a garlic festival or a church or a synagogue. One thing that I did want to say about like what we can do about this, one thing that drained the NRA, what we're really focusing on is, okay, so here's some good news. The NRA is right now doing a great job at draining itself. It's having huge financial problems, a lot of infighting. New York State is now looking at its nonprofit charter to see if it can actually be a nonprofit. It is very possible that the NRA could cease to exist tomorrow. I mean, it really just shows you it was seen as this huge behemoth that was giving so much money to politicians. And then once it started having all this infighting, once membership went down a little bit, it's just amazing how quickly it has so imploded.
Am I correct? NRA is just a lobby, correct?
Right.
It's a nonprofit lobbying organization.
Right.
That uses money and politics to try to help big corporations sell guns
to people. It is both, and Planned Parenthood is also this a lot. Every town, it has a 501c3 and a 501c4. So their 501c3 nonprofit status is things like, you know, gun safety awareness and gun clubs and gun education and shooting camps and things that like the NRA was when our grandparents were around, which was shooting and hunting awareness and gun safety. Right. But
there were a lot of deer in Maryland.
There's a lot of deer that need some shooting.
Or you know what? I'll just say use a bow and arrow, guys. Use a crossbow. And there's less likely to kill a human or a baby.
And their C4 has been the most insidious force. They're political. They have their political victory fund, and that is all of the money that has been going to donate to congressional candidates, to donate to state legislatures. So I think once their nonprofit goes, their C3 gets pulled. Their C4 can't exist.
It's so weird to think that somebody's like giving $50 to someone with a wink, like just let guns stick around. You're like, what?
Right.
Why?
It's weird because what NRA members or anybody who likes to shoot or whatever. And I don't want to put everybody in a box. No one is a monolith. I think what they see is that we're going against a way of life. And I think that's really something as gun reform folks, we have to really think about. I don't think we have to apologize or water anything down, but they're feeling like we're going after a certain way of life. And I really do believe that Ackerman Queen and the NRA has sold them a bag of goods. They've sold them a culture and an identity to latch onto. And it's not even about the products. It's how the products make them feel to be part of this community. And now this community of victims. Everyone's going against me and my freedoms and my way of life. And our
I'm not one of them or whatever.
Yeah. I am a responsible gun owner. Why should you take my toy away from me? I'm here to... And there's a lot of reasons in different parts of the world, parts of the country, where 911's not very reliable. And that is hard for gun reform folks to really square that in each part of the country, there is a legitimate reason to feel like you should have a gun in your house to protect yourself. And we are not there to take that away, but we are just trying to say that the wrong people should no longer have guns. And we should really ask ourselves, why are we putting military style weapons out in civilized society? What has happened to these last 10 years to allow for the proliferation of that? And the assault ban weapon expired and we didn't renew it.
Right. Why did that? I mean, whatever. That's like getting into why are politicians so stupid?
Yeah,
I guess. But
well, I think the next action that we're taking is right now the best thing we can do. I think groups like Moms Demand Action and other groups have been really focusing on state laws, and every law that saves a life is worth it. But I don't I think we're only as safe as our borders. I mean, we live in California with really strong gun laws. Mm-hmm. The border, the state next to us, Nevada, is basically a gun show.
It's the full Wild West.
It is the full Wild West. A 19-year-old was able to legally buy an AK-47 and cross state lines and shoot up a garlic festival. So it is time for federal gun laws. And I mm-hmm. think that what Dream the NRA ultimately represents is that it is time to make a statement as a culture and as a society, that we value our lives and our safety over mm-hmm. the profits of a company. Yeah. And, that is what's been happening. We have basically been sacrificing our children's lives at the altar of gun companies turning a profit.
Yeah. Is this story personal for you?
You know what? No, I haven't personally been a victim of gun violence. I haven't had anyone yet. I got involved in this after the Pulse nightclub shooting, and it was when my son was maybe a year old, and there was something about the idea of moms dancing with their adult sons and their adult children, and something in my brain in that moment of time just snapped. Maybe I thought I'd want to be that mom one day dancing with my son
and not have to fear for your life.
And not to fear for my life. And that snapped for me. And it was so interesting. Sandy Hook was so tragic that I think it was abstract. I also think about the Vegas shooting. It's the deadliest shooting in America. Oof. 50 people died, hundreds injured, a concert just turned into a kill box, and I don't think we know how to wrap our heads around it.
It is difficult. It's like a shooting fish in a barrel.
Right. It was like watching the planes go into the towers if we were in New York. It's like, mm-hmm. am I watching a movie right now? Is this real? Mm-hmm. And it was so abstract, so devastating. And then when I became a parent, I was like, oh, that wasn't an abstract and tragic news story. Like, I now understand how that feels. And I would say this for anybody who is passionate about an issue or wants to learn more about an issue, is that don't underestimate the power of your own empathy. That your empathy enough is enough to change, to make some sort of change. And that is enough for you to get into a fight for something that you believe in.
How do you talk to your son about guns?
There's a lot of discussions in our mom group about like, oh, how do we talk about like toy guns with our kids? Mm-hmm. And I've done things where if I bought him like a policeman outfit or whatever, I always skipped the one that has the gun in it. I didn't mm-hmm. feel like I had to encourage that, but I also accepted that it's something that he's going to learn on his own.
Yeah.
And I am choosing, and this is where part of like the creative part of me and the gun advocate sort of collide. I think guns, horses, princesses, superheroes. I think it's all about exploring the idea of power. And
I don't think
they're out to actually, I'm going to kill you. Like, they mean that maliciously and sociopathically. Mm-hmm. I really think it is a way of them figuring out their imagination, figuring out their place in the world, trying to organize who has power and knowing how small they are in this world. And so going pew, 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 my kid going pew, pew, pew on a field, I'm not so worried about. I'm more worried if somebody says, don't do that, and he continues to do it, just like with anything. But I don't
that
think...
That is the truth.
That is the truth.
Please
anything.
Stop. No.
Please stop.
Please
okay.
stop.
Okay. All right.
No.
Bigger question about consent, my son.
Indeed. Yes.
There's something like guns are just this thing that are just going to happen. And I think when he's older, I don't want him to make him feel bad that how he wants to play or how he's using his imagination is wrong, as long as he's not actually actively hurting another person. So that to me right now in the immediate is more concerning than feeling like I have to pressure him to understand the gun crisis, because the gun crisis isn't his fault. So I shouldn't have to yeah. yuck his yum because he wants to play with a water gun. Water guns are fucking fun.
They're so fun.
We tried to call them water blasters, but you know no. what? They're water guns. And
yes.
so I would say them.
And it also... like, we're being responsible by giving our kids toys that they're allowed to play with.
Right.
And they can use their imagination to play with imaginary guns.
Yeah.
Why aren't adults... like stopping themselves exactly. and police, like they're adult. Right. You become an adult
right.
at some point in your life. Right. You have to become responsible.
Right. Right.
Like, they should take responsibility for their actions.
Yeah. And to realize you are involved in an industry that has caused so much pain and horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I'm curious to see when does the, you know, the gun conversation,
right.
I imagine, would happen. I don't know what age you would start that at.
That's
but
a really good question. But I should do some research on that. When we can talk about
you need
that.
More stuff to
I need
do,
more
Laura.
Stuff to do because it's a good question. You know, I had a big talk with my preschool about, like, do you have a safety drill in place?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more concerned that my school knows that it can lock, is able to lock their doors from the inside and has a plan in case of an active shooter. I'm more worried about that than if my own kid goes pew, pew, pew with his hand on a playground. So it's really hard to figure out as a parent, where do you put your attention and
yeah.
what can you encourage? And so I'm right now choosing to not worry about how my son plays until I see that he is actually hurting people.
Yes.
And has a fascination with actual pain and not like this idea of power and imagination play and playing Hulk. For him, playing Hulk is the same thing as going pew, pew, pew.
That's right.
It's all the same sort of experience.
I'm a dinosaur.
I'm a dinosaur. I'm a pony. I'm a thing that is bigger than what I am now. Mm-hmm. But I think if parents could maybe start having conversations with their schools about school safety drills. And I think that's a really delicate thing because I think we're all really appalled by the reality of lockdown drills. And we see everything in the news that we're terrorizing our children with these lockdown drills and we're traumatizing them. And we see like grown-ups with fake guns shooting at kids. I mean, the lockdown drill thing is getting a little bananas. But I think there is a movement now and there's a larger discussion about how schools can train staff and faculty and adults in a situation. If adults are trained in a situation, they save lives. And what happened with Parkland, we saw that the adults were not trained for this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a way to teach age-appropriate tactics, how you teach school safety to high school kids who can actually take some agency and safely fighting back safely in a way that we're not traumatizing them in training. A loud alarm apparently is enough to disorient a shooter, an active shooter. You just blast something really loud. That is enough to disorient someone and stop them.
Do you ask other parents if they have guns in their house before you let your kid have a play date?
Yes, and you should. And here, that's also another thing, like things that we can do now.
Mm-hmm.
I could say flip the Senate. Oh, God, there's so much out of our control for that.
Absolutely.
That
feels like playing a game, which I don't even know the rules.
Right. But we could start shifting the culture within our own communities. And I think one of the biggest things that we can do as parents is talk to us, having really frank discussions with our school principals and teachers about what is your policy, what is your school safety policy, and get them to think about it. And you have to show them that this is an important thing that they have to answer to in the same way that you have fire drills and
earthquake drills
and all that. This is just part of the world we live in and we have to save lives. Another thing we can do is start normalizing having really frank conversations about guns. Moms Demand is a really great program called Be Smart. So if you go to besmart.org, that takes you through a really quick training video, I think with Melissa Joan Hart of Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, who we love. And she talks about how to have a really frank, honest, non-judgy conversation about guns. We ask if there's a pool and if it's gated, and we want to know if there's maybe a dog or a large dog, or if we have certain allergies or allergens in the house. We should also just be able to talk about guns and do it in a way that because we're so afraid that the other person's going to be judged or we're criticizing them. And
start with pool.
Yeah.
And with guns.
And with guns.
Let me work on the tone. Yeah. Do you have a gun? No. So do you have a gun?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody
try what it is. Yeah.
Do you have a gun? No. That's not going to get you anywhere. Do you have a gun?
Right.
I was just curious. Do you like, or she can't have chocolate right now. Do you have a gun?
Yeah. Does there have to be a gun? And is it, if there is, the following questions are like, oh, okay. And is it locked?
Okay.
And is it locked separate from the ammunition? And which is another thing, you know, you can't have a loaded gun locked in a safe. And, you know, kids know how to get into stuff, which is why, again, I just will never be convinced that having a gun in a house is the safe thing.
This is really important because I don't think there was... You know, a lot being locked up, like you would, I would have right. thought like, oh, right. That's fine. Like right. locked up. They it's behind a safe. Right. It's fine. You know, it never would have occurred to me necessarily to ask if the ammunition was separate
right.
from the yes. gun and they're both locked up. And right. that's like the, is that kind of like the known proper protocol?
Yes, for... that is the standard. If you have a gun, is it unloaded mm-hmm. and locked up, and is the ammunition locked up and separate from the weapon?
And that's what like the NRA would have
exactly
promoted, correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Right. And I'm sure that's still buried on a website on safety feature. And a lot of gun owners would absolutely say, well, of course, or I have it in this insane safe in the garage and everyone's fine. And I'm not suggesting that you have a gun, you're purposely trying to make people unsafe. Just there are statistics to back up that a gun in a house immediately makes everyone less safe.
I don't do my dishes after I cook right. until the next morning.
Exactly.
I would definitely be a candidate that would leave a loaded gun somewhere yes. unlocked and forget to lock it somewhere.
Right.
It's not that you don't care. Yes. It's just people are, you have something very, very, very dangerous. Yes. And you have to be very, very, very on top of the yeah, safety of that.
Right.
Like, you can't just, like, crash your car into your house and be like, I'll take care of that tomorrow.
Right.
No. It's right. like, it's very dangerous. It's not a dish. It's not yes. a dirty dish.
Right.
You know? Like, I might get ants, but it's not going to kill a child. You know
and
what I mean?
Our fear and what is happening is that the NRA and NRA TV and Fox News, they convince grandma who lives in rural Nebraska that MS-13 is going to be after her on her way to Piggly Wiggly. So she has a gun in her purse and then her grandkids come over and go in her purse to look for candy. And that right. is how accidental shootings happen. When mm-hmm. you make people feel like they're afraid and everyone is after them and they have to protect themselves and they walk around with this loaded weapon, what ends up happening is they end up accidentally hurting other people. That is what mostly happens in these situations and how most shootings of children happen.
My daughter loves to play with Nerf guns and yeah. I hear the word gun more than I thought I would from yeah. a 4.5-year-old. Like she went over to the neighbors. There's these boys that she plays with. They play Nerf guns, you know?
Right.
And she was like, can I play with her guns? And I'm like, what a weird thing yeah. to hear a little yeah. girl just be like, can I play with your guns, please?
Right.
But then you realize it's just all a part of like, I want to play.
Yeah, it's all about playing. And
it's important to have these conversations when they're ready and understand it.
Right.
And it's going to be hard with the internet and social media right. and everything to kind of escape these conversations.
Right.
So I think what you're doing is amazing. And to take a part of your time where, you know, to dedicate mm-hmm. to making the world a better place for your son is like a really hard, difficult decision to make, to choose where your time goes. And it matters.
Right.
So thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And the organization sounds amazing.
Thank you. And I just think one thing to think about is I can't imagine those parents of Sandy Hook, those Parkland students, they show up to this every single day with a heartache that I can't even imagine. And if they can show up to this every day, I think we can all in our own ways do whatever part, whether it means starting to talk to other parents about gun safety or talking to our schools or helping to flip a Senate race or just being a little bit more aware about how gun culture is has taken over our culture. Or
tweet it, Simply Safe, guys. Good job.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
Stick with it. Things like that, because what they're doing, I can't even imagine. They show up to this every single day. So,
yeah, they have to relive it every time another child dies. They have mm-hmm. to be reminded of
right.
like their own. And that is an unbelievable grief. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
and
Kimmy,
we'll put all your information on the site and at drainthenra.org.
Drainthenra.com. And you can find us on Twitter at drainthenra, Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook.
Thank you, Laura. You're a real inspiration. Note to self, if you care about something, don't just blab about it on your podcast. Do something to affect change. I'll get right on that, Kimmy. Thanks, Kimmy. To wrap up this discussion, I'm going to check back in with Rebecca and Amanda and see how they handle talking to their kids about guns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do you guys feel about toy gun play?
Yeah, I don't let Viv play gun toys at all. I would get her like a water squirter as long as it didn't look like a gun. Like I don't, you know, or like even a Nerf thing that didn't look like a gun. But it's like anything that's supposed to represent a gun, or if she's playing something like, you know, she not like she can't do like a pew pew you're dead situation. Like it's just not something. But so far, most of her friends also aren't allowed to. So it hasn't really been a very difficult issue for us yet. Mm-hmm. I may have to be confronted with that and revise things as she gets older, as she has a different friend group, you know, as she's in other situations with other kids. But right now she kind of has the hard and fast no gun toy rule.
Right. I do let Fred play abortion though. I'm just kidding. Rebecca. What? Listen, you have to show your beliefs in their play.
Well, it's very interesting. Now, would you be comfortable if your kids came to my house and I let them play with squirt guns, Nerf guns, like with the neighbors? Would you, is that something that I would need to discuss with you? Because that's something that in my community of kids, we do not discuss. We just play.
I'm fine with it. Like Fred played with squirt guns at your house and I'm totally fine with it. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are some people that you'd need to discuss. Because there's some people that really have that line in the sand.
Do you
yeah,
think
that I'd
that's
be fine
just,
with it too. Probably.
You'd be fine yeah. with it. Yeah, well, it's interesting. It gets more complicated when the kids start having their own opinions. And also you don't want them like sitting in the corner, like sadly by themselves or weirdly playing by themselves, like with a Nerf gun or something. Like it is definitely like it becomes much more about feeling included, mm-hmm. I think, in mm-hmm. with the other kids' activities. Thank you for talking to me about this subject. I know it's like kind of it's hard to kind of see it every day and witness it. And have you guys ever lost anyone to gun violence? I'm getting very emotional just to let everybody know.
I haven't. Or yeah, no, I don't think I have.
I have relatives that are in the military, and that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I've had on a, I guess, a lighter note. I also had a relative who was very drunk, who had airsoft rifles, which are rubber bullets, like, you know, like the police use them sometimes, whatever.
Riot
and
police.
Who, while he was drunk, shot me point blank in the leg with one.
Oh my God.
And I did have, you know, it did break the skin. I did have a welt, but like as far as being shot goes, it was a very low key way to get shot.
Amanda,
I told you I'd lighten it up. So,
my God.
So I got like mellowly shot and it really hurt.
Oh.
But it was really scary. And also because he was inebriated, like he was shooting above me and like he had altered a high capacity magazine to do the rubber bullets, and then he was doing that on the wall above my head right after he shot me, and I was afraid he was going to shoot me again, but he didn't. And
right, what if he shot you in the eye? You would have lost your eye.
Yeah, and you know,
also thank God that wasn't like a real gun.
Right.
I mean, that's.
But that's the point is he had this thing and was drunk and caused harm. Granted, not that bad of harm, but he was just playing around drunk.
So. Oh my God. I'm just gonna. You just have to stay with me always. You guys are just gonna have to like. You have to go South Staten Island. You guys are never. You're my only guest now.
I like that she just pulls it out. I was shot with a soft rubber bullet.
Your grandfather didn't make those rubber bullets, did he?
No. This was not related to my grandfather in any way. I'll be clear.
He was a 3D printer.
This
was not upgraded. No.
This was not the responsible gun-owning members of my family. Oh my this God. Was an irresponsible member of my family.
Well, I love you guys. Thank you for talking about guns, and we'll see you in the next one, okay? I'd like to thank my awesome guest today for diving into this topic with me. This is a difficult topic, and doing nothing has allowed for gun violence, the rise in suicides, fear in our children's lives to continue. We do not need to shy away from facing the issue head on because it isn't just about guns. We all deserve to feel safe, and our kids deserve to be able to enjoy their lives without fear of being attacked when they're at school, going to the movies, or picking up a vat of cheese balls at a Walmart. Let's all work together to make America a little less unique and a little more, I don't know, maybe like the rest of the developed world that seems to have a lack of gun thing figured out? I'd like to thank my guests, Rebecca Johnson, Amanda Dybert, and Laura Menino. Just like parenthood, we're still figuring it out. So please reach out to me through our website, motherofallshows.com, if you have any questions, thoughts, or topics you'd like to hear. This podcast is produced by Jen Perry-Leamy, written by Rebecca Johnson, music by Jerome Kurtenbach, and edited by Amanda Lund and Tracy Levy. Please subscribe and rate The Mother of All Shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. It will really help us out, like OxyClean after a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. We will have links to the topics and resources we discussed today on our website. See you for the next one. Is it too early for wine?
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.